This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Well, we always love talking to our next guest. And I'm lucky enough that I can call him whenever I want because we're that close. And that is the voice of the New York Knicks, voice of the NBA, and that is Mike Breen. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hello, Michael. Guys.
Oh, he's doing the bad phone bit.
Done.
Yeah, see?
Oh, no.
That's great stuff. You have a landline in the car, Mike?
Well, I heard the beginning of the Bloomberg interview.
Wasn't the start we were looking for.
Shot.
But you know what? We fixed it, Mike. Did you hear the end of it, or did you give up?
I did. I you can't not listen to that man and not become an immediate fan of him.
It's like you.
Well, no. All I know is he's so likable and seems like a wonderful guy.
He is. Your
and
instincts
I'm
are correct.
I'm going to get the book.
Yeah.
Even though I'm a Mets fan, I always loved Thurman Munson. Was a huge Thurman Munson fan.
See, that doesn't make sense. How can you be a Met fan? It'd be like me being a Yankee fan and liking Jerry Grody. Well, why? How?
Well, because you respect the Met and the way they play and how hard they play.
Yeah. I mean, I told you I'm a fan of Brett Gardner, even though I hate the Yankees. But I could be a fan of a guy that busts it, works hard. Thurman, that was the kind of guy he is. I got your back, Mike. He's just trying to be confrontational.
No, with
well,
Mike?
You know what, Don? I'm a little annoyed, Don, because I didn't like the way you went after my guy recently.
Uh-oh.
But I was supporting you in the process.
No. You're talking about how he's like everybody else. He's not. He's one of the most unique broadcasters in the business.
Wow.
His versatility is unmatched.
Thank you, Mike.
I disagree.
You can never go after a man's taste of music. You can't do that. That's off limits.
Really?
It comes from inside. It comes from the heart. It comes from the soul. You can't, because somebody, music moves somebody, you can't criticize him for what moves him.
And so no, I can criticize him when I think it's all layups to him because he doesn't have like a lot of range. I don't think he cares about music the way the most human beings do. And so he just falls on what's popular.
Have you ever seen him sing Build Me Up Buttercup?
Oh, have we? Of course.
Well, just the fact that that's the song he sings.
Or You May Be Right, the Billy Joel song. I've seen this in person.
So
it's sung with passion. It's sang with feeling.
Everybody needs a friend like Mike Breen. I'll tell you that.
That
Mike,
is a fact.
Since we've gone off the beaten path and we will get around to talking about the Knicks, I have known you 30 years now, maybe even more, and I've never seen
what?
You have a 41 hair.
41 years.
31?
41.
41. That's right. That's right. Boy, time flies. I've never
What'd
seen
you. What did you do for those 10 years?
I've never seen you with a hair out of place, nor a long hair. So Don's hair is down below his collar. Your thoughts?
Again, that's also something that you have
it's
to
personal.
Respect.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He looks in the mirror in the morning and he says, you know, I'm looking good. And you have to respect that.
And well, that's all that matters, right? Is how you feel about yourself.
Exactly. Self-confidence. Well,
good, Peter. Chime in. You have something to say and you're hesitating.
I just, you know, I just want to reiterate what Don said. Everybody needs a friend like Mike Breen. And in this case, Don had him too, because we know what he wanted to say.
No, because Mike disapproves of the hair like that. He's not saying it on the air.
No.
He'll text me later and go, Don looks like a hobo. That's Mike. That's what he'll do.
Because he's all class. Now I got to ask you, Mike. I texted you the other night because I was so blown away by that Celtics-Warriors game. You got a front row seat this week to Steph Curry's magic. Is this among the most magical moments you've ever gotten a call of Steph's career?
Yes. You know what? Because it was back-to-back games, what he did Saturday and then what he did Monday, to see him play at this level. And as you guys know, he plays with such a flair and he plays with such joy when he's out on the floor. He's not just a great player. He's an entertaining player. And the fact that now he's going up where the defense is, their entire game plan is geared towards stopping him, yet he's still able to do this.
It's crazy.
It's pretty incredible for a young man who looks like, you know, he looks like a guy that you'd be involved in a pickup game at the park. He's not too tall. He's kind of slight, although he's much stronger than he used to be. It's just fun to watch when he's in those zones. There's very few that have been entertaining as him.
Now, Mike, you are not only the voice of the Knicks, but you've been a fan since you were a kid. Has this success completely come out of the blue? I mean, you're an optimistic guy. Could you have envisioned that they would be in play for the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference? Has this taken you by surprise?
Yeah, I was optimistic coming in once they hired Tom Thibodeau. You know, I was trying to think, okay, how many games did he win last year? You could add 10 to that total because that's the kind of difference he's capable of making. But I did not think that, you know, here with 13 games to go, they've got this huge game, so important for a chance to play for home court advantage in the first round. Now, there's still a long ways to go, and they've got that really difficult road trip. But, no, I didn't expect them to take this much of a step forward. But I was confident that Tom Thibodeau was going to turn it around. And after 25 games, you're like, man, boy, did they make the right choice.
Where is the difference, right? What can you give us an example of where you could just tell during the course of a game that his coaching is making a difference?
Well, the thing is, when he first started, there are certain things he said, Don, that right away just that resonates. And the thing that I've always, and any coach that I've talked to over all the years, they talk about the importance of practice. And Tom Thibodeau said, if you practice well, you play well. That's like the first thing he said to the team, and maybe the first thing he said to the media. And in an NBA season where practice is hard to come by, you just see how they know where they're supposed to be. Their defensive rotations are there. When they're moving the ball and all of a sudden a pass comes out of nowhere, it's because that guy was supposed to be there because they're drilling it. They're drilling it every day. And that's the only way you get better. And no matter what we do, whether it's hosting a radio show, calling play-by-play, playing golf, or playing any sport, you're not going to get better unless you practice. And he puts so much emphasis on practice that when they get out on the court, they're drilled, and it's almost instinctive now on what they're supposed to do in terms of their schemes and their plays. And to me, that's what you notice out there. They just look so well coached. You just, by the eye test, they just look like they know where they're supposed to be.
Is that why R.J. Barrett has taken this quantum leap? Or is it just his natural growth? He's very young, but he seems like a different player than last year.
Well, if you look at Thibodeau's track record, he's done that with a number of players where not only does the team get better, but individual players get better. And again, a part of it is accountability. Like, he gets into them. I mean, really works them hard and coaches them hard. But at the same time, he's got this ability to instill belief in them. So that's when you've got a coach that believes in you. You want to make that belief come to fruition by playing well. So you're going to do what he says. And when you see the success, when success follows it, it makes all the difference in the world. So yes, I mean, he's only 20 years old, so the growth is going to be there. And you have to give him and Julius Randle and most of the players credit for all the work that they put in the off season to get better and continue to work. But I think, you know, the accountability of letting them know that, you know, you can do better, you can play better when you're not playing your best. And that's been prevalent from day one with this team, in that there's no excuses. No matter who's playing that night, no matter who they're playing, his message to them is, we have a chance to win every night. And he makes them believe that because they're so well prepared.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, and we were talking earlier about, you know, getting that next big player, signing that big free agent, because now all of a sudden this franchise becomes attractive to play for. But with a coach like that, whoever comes here is going to have to play his style, right? He's not going to adjust to the player. Player is going to probably have to adjust to him.
No, I think he lets some players go. I mean, a perfect example of that is Emmanuel Quickley. Quickley gets a little bit, kind of does his own thing, plays a little jazz music when he's out there and takes some wild shots, but that's kind of what gets him going, and I think he's done that in the past. He did that with Derrick Rose back when they were in Chicago, kind of let Jimmy Butler do his thing as well in Minnesota. So I think he's a lot more flexible than you think, but there are certain things that he's not flexible about, and that's making sure that you are committed to defense every single night, making sure that, and again, to go back to this, that you practice hard. You don't just play hard. You practice hard. In shoot-arounds, you go at it hard, and you concentrate in shoot-arounds. Every single day, you get a chance to get better, and you hear every coach say that, but I mean, he really reinforces it. And, you know, again, he's grown. We talk about players who improve from year to year. You know, they come back the next year, and they're better. Coaches do the same thing. And what he did was he traveled around the NBA, and he talked to a lot of different coaches and sat in on practices. So coaches know that they have to get better too, and they change the way they approach things, not just what they run, but how they approach with players. And he also said that on day one. He goes, I've learned a lot from the past places I've been, and I think I'm a better coach now because I've learned from what I did well and I learned from what I didn't do as well.
Is there anybody that could be coach of the year other than him? I know Quinn Snyder's done an unbelievable job, but with what Thibodeau is working with, Mike, I can't see anybody beating him for that award. Not that it means anything to him, but I think he should be awarded in some way or shown the appreciation that he's the best coach in the NBA this season.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard. Quinn Snyder, for the Utah Jazz to be first place in the West all year and for the Phoenix Suns, you know, I know Chris Paul's a huge part of that turnaround, but Monty Williams has done, he's just done a fantastic job as well. And, you know, there are others too. Doc Rivers has done an excellent job in Philadelphia. They've led the East almost the entire way, and it's a hard season to do that. But he's right up there. It's going to be tough when it comes down to doing the final vote, because what he's done, the job he's done in New York here is remarkable.
We now, talked about – I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike.
No, you go, Don.
I wanted to ask just – we've talked so much about, like, the disappointment of KD not playing in that Sixer game and them not really putting a lot of relevance in finishing first. Does that bother you that players don't seem to really want to bust it, or organizations don't feel the need to finish in first place or maybe respect those matchups late in the year?
You know what? I think it's just a different era, Don, and – the way it is now with teams, the medical and training staff have a huge say in who plays night in and night out. And many of them are erring on the side of caution and not wanting to push. And then it gets, you know, it's a mindset too about, okay, I'm banged up a little bit. Maybe I could sit down and get rest. It creeps into the players sometimes too. But I think it's more of the way the teams are run now, and all the medical analysts will, are all pointing towards those type of things where, you know, the risk of injury is too great. The risk of injury down the line is too great if they have some knee tendonitis. I mean, guys would never sit down with a little knee tendonitis. Patrick Ewing played his whole career with knee tendonitis. But it's a shift in the way the entire teams are run in terms of input from the medical and training staff.
Mike, do you realize that Don is down on me because next Thursday I begin golf lessons, and I know you're very high on me for doing that?
It's going to be one of the great decisions of your life. Although I will say this, one time I remember getting a little annoyed with you because you once said, and correct me if I'm wrong, any man who plays golf must hate their wife.
That was
Don.
Remember
saying that?
That was Don.
Don says that more often, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then my apologies to you for that. And Don, I'll tell you why that's not correct.
Okay.
Because although obviously it's time away from your wife or your family, everybody, it's good to have your time with your friends, et cetera. What golf is, not only is golf great in terms of playing competitive and trying to do what you can to play the sport well, it's the greatest friendship thing as you get older. I've met more great friends and spend more quality time with my friends on the golf course because you can't do it anywhere else. So I'm looking forward to spending more time with Michael now because he's playing golf.
Well, you're not going to, because I think he's going to quit. Because if you know Michael, you know he doesn't like doing things he's not great at. And you can't master the sport. I don't even think he's going to get through the five lessons. And if he does, it'll be because he doesn't want to eat them up.
The key is who his first golf instructor is. That's all he needs. He needs a good first golf instructor, and then he'll be fine.
See, I one of the reasons I'm taking the lessons, Don, is Mike goes out and golfs with our college friends, and they never even ask me. And I don't assume it's because they don't like me, but they know that I don't golf. I want to be included with Bob Rinaldi and Don Travers and Matt McPartland. I want to be
part of
that group.
When they're beating you senseless and you can't get through the back nine without putting it in the woods tent, that you're going to break your club, you're going to walk away and never play again. I know you.
Nah. Well, Mike knows you. Mike, what do you shoot? What's your handicap?
I'm a 9 handicap, but the beauty of golf is that, unlike other sports, you can play with somebody who's, you know, practically a pro golfer and somebody who's horrific on the golf course and still have a good time. It doesn't matter. You can still play with people of all levels. That's one of the beautiful things about golf.
I love it. I can't wait, Mike.
Let's just all remember this, Michael. When we have a moment, I don't know who a great fourth would be. For me, you, and Mike Breen and a fourth to go out. And when we tell Don about the time we've had, he's going to be so jealous.
Right. He'll be jealous because, you guys played again? Yeah. Great
time. I can't wait.
Good fourth. I know a good fourth.
Who you like?
Jimmy Pitaro.
4 hours.
Jimmy Pitaro.
Yeah. Great for me.
Yeah.
If I'm not golfing, I'm winning. That's a win for me.
Wow.
And I love all you guys. And I'll drive around the side with the cart and just hang out with you guys. I'm not golfing.
Okay.
No, it's not allowed. Sorry.
Don said that if they played the Masters in his backyard, he'd call the cops.
Because they're trespassing.
Well, Mike, have a great call tonight. This is one of those times I wish the Garden was jammed. Unfortunately, the times we live in, it can't be. But Knick fans really have – we talked about this earlier. They have been the most loyal fans over the last 20 years through some awful basketball. They must be loving this, and – it would be so great if there were 19,000 people there tonight.
Yeah, the 2,000 have been great. Mike Vaccaro wrote a great piece in the Post, I think it was yesterday, just about that, about what it means to Knick fans. And that's what I keep thinking of. I'm so happy for Knick fans who've been, you know, through the ups and the downs. They're so desperate and hungry for a team exactly like this.
Well, they have a great announcer, too, so that helps.
That's a great point.
Well, Clyde's a Hall of Fame player, and
there's no doubt.
A Hall of Fame broadcaster.
You know what? When you have a friend like Mike Breen, Peter.
As is Ed Cohen and Brendan Brown.
Wow. Again.
And Kenny Albert when he fills in, too. Don't forget him.
That's correct. And John Gianones filled in on the radio as well.
That's right.
Pat O'Keefe did a great job that one game.
Yep.
COVID has had a lot of different people have to do a lot of different things.
Mike, you'll text me later. Tell me what you really think of Don's hair. Okay.
Look forward to it.
I will.
Thanks, Mike. Right. Have a great night.
See you on the golf course.
See you guys.
Yeah. Now, the most disconcerting thing about that interview
was what?
You think that was a little forward of Peter to text Mike after that game?
Oh my God!
Last Saturday.
I'm glad you bring up and forward to include himself in our group. I mean, come on, Peter.
Well, I mean, you got his number.
It's
I get
college
it. But that,
guys.
I'm glad you thought the same thing I did. I was like, really? That's really?
Hold on. When you have a phone number of someone and you get friendly over time, I don't text Mike Breen every day, but every 4 months you see the guy call again. Well, that was a hell of a game. Good call. That's overly forward.
I really think he's going to change his number, and he's had the same number for about 40 years.
And by the way, I mean, listen, if you don't want to include me in the foursome, Michael, I thought it would seem like a great time. But I have other people to play golf with. No worries.
All right, no worries at all. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought
to you
by Geico.
Screw you and your golf lessons. How about that?
The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Another thing, Peter, that we don't take into account, a lot of the clubs where you play golf.
No Jews.
No.
Oh, sorry. Keep
Don
going.
Don couldn't get on those courses with that
with the hair?
No way.
No, he's out.
He doesn't have to worry about it.
Wow. Now, Andrew, should I take this up to 52 because I got the Clubhouse Confidential to give away, or do you want me to break here?
Let's break here.
Yep. All right, we're going to break here. We'll come back. We'll give you another opportunity to join the Clubhouse Confidential with Don. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.